So again, we do remember that we are here to worship the Lord, and the means that He has given us to worship Him are that we worship Him in song, we worship Him in His Word, we worship Him through prayer, and we worship Him through the preaching of the Word. And so with that, we're going to turn to the book of Matthew in chapter number 13, and we're continuing. And we can't separate Matthew 13 from what we read previously in Matthew in chapter number 12. A common passage of Scripture is going to be the topic of our subject today. It is the parable of the sower. But the title of the message today is The Danger of Not Hearing. The Danger of Not Hearing. As we studied last week, and as we looked in the book of Matthew, we saw how that Jesus faced a challenge from the scribes and the Pharisees concerning the work that He's doing. If you remember, they accused Him of working by Beelzebub, and He answered their challenge. Now it tells us in verse number 1, the same day went Jesus, and so we understand on the same day as He answered the challenge of the Pharisees about His work, He walked out by the seashore and He begins to teach. But we want to remember as Jesus began this challenge, as they challenged Him about His disciples eating corn on the Sabbath day, He said unto them in verse number 3 of Matthew 12, "Have you not read?" So He asked them a question, "At least haven't you read what is written in the Scriptures?" Then later He goes on as He's facing this challenge, and He uses Jonah and the Queen of Sheba in His defense. The scribes and the Pharisees should be familiar with Jonah and the Queen of Sheba. They are significant characters in Israel's past. But apparently, these who are opposing Jesus have not read the Scripture properly. They were unaware of the importance of these events from the past. Somewhere in the past, someone did not hear the word properly. They didn't read the word properly. Therefore, their hearts have become fat and their eyes, their ears heavy, and their eyes shut to the work of God. That's what Isaiah told them, if you remember, in what Mark Anthony read. And so, it is plain that the children of Israel, as they have not heard, and as we listen to the words of Isaiah, that their ears heavy, their eyes shut, and their hearts become fat to the things of God, it is obvious that they have rejected Jesus. They have turned away from Jesus as their Messiah. They attributed the work of Jesus to the devil, Beelzebub, and they have given voice to the rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. Something's going to change. Israel has rejected Jesus, and something is going to change in the way that He deals with them. So we sort of begin a new stage in the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus is going to teach them in parables. And it tells us that many have come. Verse 2 says, "And great multitudes were gathered together." So many have come to hear His teaching, and He's teaching by the seashores. And Jesus is going to encourage those who are listening to Him to be careful how they hear. They need to be careful about what they are hearing. They need to be careful about how they are hearing. Because it is possible to hear without hearing. And so Jesus is going to change the way that He teaches them. They have rejected His offering of the kingdom. And so Jesus is going to begin sharing new truths about the kingdom. The kingdom is going to involve two comings of Jesus with a period of time in between. And we will see this change as we move forward in the book of Matthew. This will be a challenge to us today also, because Jesus is going to challenge His listeners to be careful how they hear. It's going to be a challenge for us too, because we need to make sure that we are careful how we hear the Word of God. Hearing properly means that we will apply what we Matthew chapter number 13, begin reading in verse number 1, says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100, and some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the kingdom of the mystery. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, because we know in your word you speak to us. We're thankful, Lord, that you have come to speak to us today, to be careful how we hear. I pray that you'll open our hearts that we can receive the seed sown. God, I pray that our hearts are good soil in which the seed can grow and bring forth fruit. I pray that we will honor your Son, Jesus Christ, as we preach your word today. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your people. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And so we see a new way of Jesus teaching to the people, and he's teaching to them in parables. And I thought it would be a good thing to do to talk to us a little bit about parables. Parables just in general. Jesus often teaches in parables, and if you read through the Bible, you're going to see that he teaches in parables, and we're going to find out that's how he's teaching differently than he had taught previously. Parabolic teaching was common to the people of the day. It was practiced in many different areas of life. Locker, in his book, All the Parables in the Bible, has this to say: In the age and country in which Christ appeared, parables were a common and popular method of instruction, for both parables and fables were popular among the people of the East. And so parabolic teaching was commonplace. It was given an illustration for people to help them understand. The definition of a parable, and the definition that most of us know, would be an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's a fair definition of what a parable is, but there's a more complete definition. Again, all of these quotes I found in Lochner's book, All the Parables in the Bible. Another person that Lochner is quoting says, it is an outward symbol of an inward reality. And so it's something that we look on the outside in the world, we can see, but it's talking about a situation that's going on in our heart. Lochner quotes Bond in his Master Teacher that says of a parable, it is a rhetorical figure that translates through contrast and similitude the natural facts and laws into the terms of the spiritual life. A narrative true to nature or to life is used for the purpose of conveying spiritual truth to the mind of the hearer. So it's going to take something that is happening in nature and it's going to apply a spiritual truth to it. Lisco, in On the Parable, states, Jesus' parables are not mere illustrations, but internal analogies, nature becoming a witness for the spiritual world. Whatever is found in the earthly exists also in the heavenly kingdom. And so it's using the natural world to speak to us about spiritual matters. And so Jesus is going to teach in parables. And this particular parable we find in verses 1 through 3. And it's talking about in verse number 3 about a seer going forth, a sower going forth to sow his seed. Now, we think about this parable, and this is a parable that would be common to them. We understand that the natural witness is common to those who are hearing. In other words, you're not going to have to try to figure out what's trying to be said. They're going to understand. A sower is going forth to sow. And every one of them that were hearing this parable, they lived in an agrarian society. And so they understood about a sower going forth to sow. And we live in a rural community. And so the majority of us, we would understand what it is like for a sower to go into a field and sow seed. Probably most of us have experienced that before. Now, people who would live in a more metropolitan area, they may not understand this as easily as we would, but those who are hearing Jesus, they understand the concept. Jesus is not sharing with them something that is difficult for them to comprehend. They understand what it looks like for a sower to sow seed. And more than likely, they would understand the four types of seed, or the four types of soil that Jesus is going to discuss. They had probably witnessed firsthand what it was like if seed was sown on hardened soil, or if seed was sown in stony soil, or if seed was sown in thorny soil. And they've also probably experienced seed sown into good soil and how that brings forth. And so they would understand the concept. We also want to remember this when it comes to parabolic teaching, that you don't have to try to figure out every type of every single thing that's in the story. Most parables are trying to bring forth one main point. There are some teachers who try to teach that every little thing about a parable has significance. And we don't want to dig into parables that deeply. If we dig too deeply, we might miss the point of what's trying to be said. And so there are four types of soil that the sower goes forth to sow seed into, and it is, of course, the hardened soil by the wayside, and the seed that is sown there finds no place to germinate, and so it cannot grow. The stony soil is the seed finds soil in which it can germinate, but not sufficient to find nourishment. And so the seed may grow a little bit, but then it's going to waste away when the heat of the day comes. The thorny soil, the seed finds enough soil in which to germinate, but the competitors for the nourishment crowd out the growth of the good seed, and so it does not produce fruit. And then the good soil. The good soil, there is sufficient to germinate the seed. There is also, the seed is able to find nourishment, and so therefore there is no competitors. It's not pushed out, and so it grows bountifully. And we want to understand what Jesus says in verse number 9. He tells them there hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so Jesus is telling them to be careful how they hear. If you have ears, you need to hear. Remember earlier what we mentioned from chapter number 12 and verse number 3. Jesus says, "Have you not read?" In other words, if you would have read properly, you would understand what's going on. And now he's warning them, be careful how you hear. Because it's possible to mishear. It's possible to not be able to hear what is being said. So you got to be careful how you hear. Apparently what you read and what you hear is critical to your relationship with Jesus. That's what he's telling them. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you hear, because it's critical to your relationship with Jesus. Word of admonition for us today, right? Well, we need to be careful what we read, and we need to be careful what we hear. If you want to have the right kind of relationship, the relationship with Jesus that is the only real relationship, and it is a relationship that will bring forth fruit, you need to be careful what you read, and you need to be careful how you hear. So his disciples come to him, and they ask Jesus in verse number 10, why speakest thou unto them in parables? The disciples understand there's a change in focus here. There's a shift in the way Jesus is teaching. And his disciples, the 12 apostles, they've noticed that shift. Why are you all of a sudden teaching them in parables? And there's a reason why. It's because Israel has decided emphatically that no, we will not receive the kingdom. No, we will not have Jesus reign over us. He's not our Messiah. He's working by Beelzebub. There is no question that Israel has rejected Jesus. And so Jesus is going to teach them differently. He's purposefully, I want you to understand this, he's purposefully going to hide truth from them. It's not open. It's hidden from them. And so Jesus teaches in parables. Quoting Meyer, Block says in his book about the kingdom, such is the consequence of unbelief. You reject Messiah, the word will be hidden. Such is the consequence of unbelief today. If you reject the teaching, it will be hidden from you. Israel is now underneath the judgment of God. That's what explains what the prophecy of Isaiah that Mark Anthony read for us in Isaiah 6, that's what that prophecy tells us. They have rejected the Messiah. The judgment of God is coming upon them. And we all need to understand that, right? Anyone that rejects Jesus Christ, the judgment of God rests upon them. Why teach them in parables? First of all, because they have rejected me, now they are sitting underneath the judgment of God. And notice what he says in verse number 11. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. To these 12 apostles, to these who are seeking Jesus with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength, it is given to them to be able to understand the teaching of the Scripture. But those who have no care or concern for the things of God, they'll not be able to receive it. It is given to the apostles. It's not given to the multitudes to be able to understand the Scripture. This answers for us a question. Why is it that some people that you know don't care about the things of God? They can't understand the things of God. It's not given to them to understand the things of God. They have no care and concern about the things of God because the love of God is not in their hearts. Because if the love of God was in their hearts, they would care about the things of God. So there are people who don't care about understanding the things of God. They don't care about worshiping the Lord. And it's because it's not given to them to do so. It's given to these apostles to understand. And we need to understand that it's not given, not everyone is given the ability to understand the teaching of Scripture. Not everyone can comprehend what's happening, what is said behind the pulpit, what is written in the Word of God. Not everyone can comprehend it. Remember, Satan has blinded their eyes that they cannot see. He has closed their ears that they cannot hear. There are some people that no matter how easy you make it, no matter how plain you speak it, they just cannot comprehend it because their hearts have not been enabled to receive the teaching. Notice what Jesus tells them in verse number 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. So there's those who have been given the ability to comprehend. The reason they've been given the ability to comprehend is because they have been given the Holy Spirit of God. They have been truly born again, and the Holy Spirit has opened their heart and enabled them to receive the teaching of Scripture. The Holy Spirit then is going to lead them according to the truth. Gill has this to say about this passage. Whoever has the true grace of God implanted in them has a saving knowledge of Christ and a spiritual acquaintance with the doctrines of the gospel shall have more grace given him. He shall grow in the knowledge of Christ, and the Spirit of truth shall lead him into all truth. So the one who has the Spirit will grow in grace and understanding in the knowledge of God, and because they have the Holy Spirit, they're going to be enabled to receive the teaching of Scripture, and the teaching of Scripture is going to make an effect in their life, and as they grow in grace, they're going to be able to receive more Scripture, and then they'll be able to apply that Scripture to their life, and they'll grow in grace, and as they grow in grace, they'll be able to receive more Scripture. It's just this process that continues to grow. Because you have been born again, because you have the Spirit of God, you're enabled to receive the Word of God, and your love for Christ grows. Your love for Christ does not weaken. Your love for Christ grows. But he also says, whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Whoever does not have the Holy Spirit will not be able to comprehend the teaching of Jesus. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you cannot hear. I know this is tough. The teaching of Jesus. People who are not born again cannot hear. This helps us to understand that when you're sharing the truth with someone, they will not hear. It's not your fault. They don't have the ability to hear. It's like speaking to someone that's deaf. No matter how much you speak to them, if their ears are closed and they can't hear, no matter how much you speak, no matter how loudly you speak, no matter how intently you speak, if they're deaf, it doesn't matter. They can't hear. And there are people in this world, the majority of the people that are in this world, there's few that understand the things of God. They can't hear the Word of God. It cannot impact them because they don't have ears to hear. We're called to teach the Bible clearly. We're called to teach the Bible clearly by exposition. In other words, say what the Bible says. The response to the Word of God is God's responsibility. But whosoever has not, he says, shall be taken away even that he hath. So this is why Jesus is teaching. That which they seem to have shall be taken away. What's he talking about there? is those who are having an outward semblance of worshiping, they have a superficial response to the teaching of Scripture, that'll be taken away. Everyone who is practicing the externals of religion will face a time of reckoning. There will be a time when their loyalty to Christ is challenged. And in my mind, this is one of the things that's happening in the pandemic. In the pandemic, people's loyalty to Christ is being challenged. There are many people who are practicing the superficials of religion. They come to church, they sit in a pew, they may or may not sing, they may or may not pray, they may or may not open their Bible, they may or may not hear what the preacher is saying. They're coming, but that's about it. They're practicing the superficials of religion. In the pandemic, that's being challenged. Why are you coming to church? And they're saying, church is not important. I'm staying away. I think people's loyalty to Christ is being challenged in the pandemic. Is Christ really worthy of being worshipped? Is worshiping in the Lord's house important to me and vital to me? I think this is what's happening. That which they have is being taken away from them. They're superficially following Jesus. What Jesus mentions here, I think, is what's happening. Really, I think this loyalty to Christ is presented to us every day. We have to make a decision. Is worshiping Christ and serving Christ important to me? Or is my relationship with Jesus only superficial? I think it's every time those doors are open, that's a challenge. Is worshiping Christ in loyalty to Christ important to me, or are other things more important to me? I think that verse of Scripture is coming before us like never before. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. The superficials of religion are being challenged. That's what Jesus is saying here. There's only going to be one person that's going to hear. There's four types of soil, but only one type that is fruitful. You see, the parable is revealing the heart of the listeners. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. They don't see, they don't hear, they don't understand. And in all of that, they are fulfilling Isaiah chapter number 6. Verse 14, Jesus said, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You see, they are fulfilling that. They have closed their eyes. They have closed their ears. Their hearts are waxed gross. It means this people's heart has waxed dull. They have grown dull of hearing. They're not listening. Because if they would listen, and if they would see, they would hear, and they would be converted, and I would heal them. But they're continuing on in their rejection of the Messiah is proof that they have closed their eyes. It's proof that they have closed in their ears. It's proof that their heart is waxed gross. Their heart is dull. They don't care about the things of God. They care about their religion. They care about their thoughts of religion. But they don't care about true religion. And Jesus is challenging them. Notice what he says to these disciples that come to him in verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desire to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Jesus is telling his apostles they're blessed because they have eyes to see. And they have ears to hear. They have been given the ability to comprehend and understand. Things which generations before them have longed to see and hear, they're getting the privilege to see and hear. Things that generations, prophets before them, longed to understand, they were mysteries to them. They didn't know, like when David said unto his Lord, and Jesus talks about how come then David called his son his Lord. They're getting to see firsthand the fulfillment of David's thoughts there. The one that was set upon the throne of David forever. They're seeing the Messiah. They're able to see the one who was born in Bethlehem. The prophecy that was made. They're getting to see. They're able to comprehend. They're able to understand. You know, sometimes I think we forget. Are you given the ability to see the Word of God and hear the Word of God and understand the Word of God? Have you been given that? Have you been given the ability to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you have a desire to seek Him first in your life? You're not putting the things of the world in front of Christ, but Christ is number one in your life every day of your life. I think we forget what a blessing it is to be able to see, to hear, and to understand the things of God. We have been given a new heart. Our eyes have been opened and our ears unstopped. We have been given the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. As I was studying this message this week, I was thinking about those days in my life when I couldn't see, I couldn't hear, I didn't understand. I didn't care about the things of God. What I was forced to do, I was angry about it. And then God quickened my heart and made me alive. And He put within me a desire to see and hear and understand the things of God. The change took place because I had been born again and my life was different than it used to be. It was not the same. I can think what a blessing it is to love the Lord. What a blessing it is to love His Word. What a blessing it is that when I read the pages of Scripture that it's open to me and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks into my heart, and I'm able to receive the teachings of Scripture. What a blessing that is, folks, because we need to understand there's people that's living in the community here that's within the sound of my voice, and they don't care about the things of God. They don't care about eternity. They don't care about honoring God with their life. But you have been given that desire. The Holy Spirit has opened your heart and has placed in your heart a desire to see and hear, know and understand, and to transform your life and to present your body a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't forget what a blessing it is that you've been given the ability to see, hear, know, and understand. Also maybe be a challenge to some others that if you don't have a love for the Lord, if you don't have a love for the Word of God, if you don't have a love for being around His people, why not? Because everyone who is born again has that desire. We need to remember what a blessing it is to be able to see and hear and understand. Rejoice because you have been given that ability. And that's why we're here, right? We're here to rejoice because we've been given the ability to worship the Lord. But we should also pray for those who have not been given that ability. we should pray that God would take away their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, that they might hear and they might see and they might understand and that they might be converted. Because unless the Lord takes away their stony heart, they'll never see, hear, or understand. And we should pray that the Lord would open their heart. What a blessing it is. So Jesus is going to explain that parable to them. He tells them in verse 18, he says, "Hear you the parable of the sower." Verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," the first thing we want to understand, the seed that is sown is the word of the kingdom. Again, we can't miss that the kingdom has been offered to the nation of Israel. Your Messiah is here. Your kingdom is among you. The kingdom is here. Receive your Messiah. That is the word Jesus preached and John the Baptist preached. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Receive your King. He's here. But they rejected him. But the seed sown is the kingdom, the message of the kingdom. And then he goes on to begin to tell them about the four soils. Block says in his book, there's nothing wrong with the sower, who is Jesus. There's nothing wrong with the seed, which is the kingdom message. But there is something wrong with the hearts of men who hear the message. Some have no desire to believe, while others have superficial responses. But others will believe the word and bear spiritual fruit for God. And that's what the four soils represent. It represents the four ways the word of God, the message of the kingdom, is received. Jesus says at the end of verse number 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside." So the wayside soil is soil that has not been prepared to receive seed. When the seed is sown, it's not understood. And the seed, when it is sown, understand this, the wicked one snatches it away. Do you understand that when you go to talk to your friends and your neighbors about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus has come to give life to everyone who will receive him. And to them who will receive him, he'll give them the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe upon his name. That is a good message. That is a great message. That is a life-giving message. But do you understand, the wicked one is waiting to snatch that seed away. He wants to use whatever means he can to keep the one you're speaking to from hearing. And even though you're sowing the seed, he's standing there snatching it away. That's what the wayside soil is. It's not been prepared. So this is one reason that we should give ourselves in prayer to God. I mean, all of us, if all of you who have a garden, you know, we're just not going to go up on the side of the hill somewhere and say, "Hey, I want to have a garden in this spot. I'm just going to get me a bunch of seed and throw it out there." No, you pick a spot, you test the soil, you kind of think about the kind of fertilizer it might need, you cut the grass off it, you get the rocks out of it, you prepare that soil and you till up the ground and you make sure that that soil is prepared so that when you sow the seed, the seed will fall into good soil. So why wouldn't we prepare to sow the seed of the kingdom? That's what prayer is, by the way. We should be beareth his precious seed with weeping, shall doubtless come again with joy. We should be preparing the soil to receive the word of God. We shouldn't just kind of scatter the seed indiscriminately, but no, we ought to be on our knees praying for a particular
the seed is sown, that that heart would be ready to receive that seed. We must make sure that we put the pre-work in so that we're not sowing seed on the by the wayside. Maybe the reason that our seed is not growing is because we're just scattering seed indiscriminately and we're not preparing the soil in which the seed is going to fall. We're just sowing it by the wayside. If you want your seed to grow, prepare the soil. Because seed's not going to grow by the wayside. We should understand that we need to prepare the soil. Second of all, he tells us in the next verse, verse number 20, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth, yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Notice, the stony soil receives the seed with joy. There's no antagonism to the Word of God. It's not that they hate the Word of God. It's just their response is superficial. The Word even looks like it grows in them for a little while. It germinates and probably the seed grows out of the soil, but when persecution or trial comes, doesn't bring forth fruit. You know, challenges to faith cause offense, and the seed doesn't grow. Again, I think that's where a lot of people are. Challenges to your faith. You have a superficial, hopefully none of you guys are this way, you're here today, but there are people that they don't have an antagonism to the Word of God, but the Word of God is, and they might even have some joy about the Word of God, but because of tribulation and persecution, they kind of leave the Word of God behind, and they go back to the world and start living after the world because the things of the world are more important to them. The thorny soil, it says, verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke out the word, and he become unfruitful. Life is too busy for this seed, this soil. Things of the world become more important to this hearer. They don't give God first place in their life, and so therefore the seed becomes unfruitful. Riches and the cares of this world are more important than the kingdom of God. The fourth soil, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bringeth forth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. This one hears, and understands, and brings forth fruit. This soil stands in contrast to the other soil. There's something different about this soil because this soil brings forth fruit. Those other soils, they don't bring forth fruit. This soil does. The things which hindered the other soils are not present in this soil. There is room to grow. Tribulation and persecution are not offensive. The cares of this life did not override the value of spiritual life. And so this soil gives life. Think about it is, of the four types of soil, there's only one soil that brings forth fruit. Here's what that means. The first three soils are unconverted persons. They're not born again. They don't bring forth fruit. Only the soil that brings forth fruit is a converted person. So that's what you find out as these who are hearing, Jesus is saying, be careful how you hear. Because if you're hearing properly, it's going to bring forth fruit. The seed's going to grow. You're not going to be offended when it comes to serving God. The cares of this life are not going to take preeminence in your life. You're going to bring forth fruit. This soil gives life because God brings life. This soil is fruitful because God does the work to make the seed fruitful. What we want to understand is the only reason this soil receives seed and it grows is because God has opened the heart so that it can receive the seed. And God has made the seed fruitful. And we all need to understand, if we're bringing forth fruit, it's because of the work of God in our hearts. It's because God has enabled us, given us the ability to receive the seed and to bring forth fruit. It's because salvation is of the Lord, and all glory belongs to God for salvation. No glory belongs to us. No glory belongs to our response. No glory belongs to anything that we have done. All glory belongs to the Lord. But Jesus is challenging them to be careful how you hear. So what is the danger of not hearing? In this parable, only one soil is emblematic of one who has been born again. Only one of these soils represents that soul who is saved. The danger is that you will hear, maybe even with joy, receive the word of the kingdom, yet not be born again, because tribulation or this world crowds the word of God out of your life. You don't bring forth fruit. The challenge to all of us is to be careful how we hear, to look for fruit, because there's a danger. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will challenge all of our hearts to be careful with how we hear. And Lord, if we are focusing on something other than your Son Jesus Christ in our life, and if we're not bringing forth fruit, I pray that you would challenge us to bring forth fruit, to act upon the word that we have heard. I pray that honor and glory will be brought to your Son Jesus Christ. We thank you for the truths we find in your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray.